All right, it is 9:35 on July 26th. We are meeting in room 306 here for a work session on Tuesday, July, yeah, I said 26. So we're out of the room.
Cherise Phillips, Court Auditor's Office.
Curtis Phillips, Court Auditor.
Mike Schendel, Attorney's Office.
Brian Hatch, Health Department.
Randy Ely, Commissioner.
Lorraine Kamalu, Commissioner.
Shauna Brady, Commission Office.
Chris Bone, Human Resources.
Brian, renewal of medical director contract.
Okay, well, I'll make this quick. Hopefully. In the past contracts, we've been given the instruction every 5 years to kind of revisit our contracts we have. This contract is a fairly small one, not anything grand, but nonetheless, we've had a medical, well, let me start back with what's in front of you is kind of a summary. We have a medical director contract. It's 2014 was the last time that we kind of had that five-year window. We renewed it once, amended it with C the last time. And so I just wanted to bring back this to the commission before I proceed. R380, that's state rule requiring when you have a health officer that doesn't have a medical degree, you have to supplement that with a medical director that oversees the medical practice of the health department. So our medical director, you know, provides the following as you hear. He's our consultant on any medical or clinical issues, immunizations, communicable disease, other health issues as they come along. He reviews, signs, and supervises the development of our clinical medical protocols, our SOPs, basically standing orders that the nurses work under. He acts as an advisor or consultant to me on these issues. He consults on our environmental health emergency response programs, consults other emergencies and disasters, and anything that we need that deem necessary. So our current contract's been in place since 2014 and was renewed in 2020. It's currently set to expire the end of this year on December 31st. As I mentioned, it's been requested that we review all of our contracts every 5 years, and so that's what I'm bringing up forward here too. This is kind of a unique medical director. We've had our medical director for at least this 10 years, but he actually goes back further. He's well trained, he's well versed in public health. He knows our department, served on our Board of Health prior to becoming the medical director. And in that 20 years he's been our medical director, he has stayed in that contract, hasn't asked for anything more. So it's been a great contract, and that's currently $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month for that service. So
he's been in that amount for 10 years?
For 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. So we haven't had a ton of work for him for those services once you set up our standing orders, things like that, you know, but he does monthly meet with our staff and reviews cases, etc., and oversees and makes sure they're following the standing orders. Part of the request here is that I guess generally you go out for an RFP, but I think that could be detrimental to us going out for RFP, trying to find someone with the experience that knows local public health. All physicians know public health that well. And the going rate for medical providers is probably a lot more than what we would currently have. So I was asked, I spoke with Curtis a little bit, got some little direction, but so I surveyed the other local health departments who are kind of who we always go to as our benchmark as far as the rates, and surveyed all of them. I got 12 of 13 response. I didn't get one back from San Juan, but San Juan has 6,000 people, so it probably doesn't match well with us anyways. So The best comparisons we have to Davis County in population, clinical services, Salt Lake County, Utah County, Weber Morgan. So you can see that we pay $12,000 a year. Tooele is 24, Tri-County, which is Uena, Daggett, and Duchesne, they're at $6,000. Wasatch is 36, Weber Morgan's at 16.5 a year. Bear River's at 6,500, Central's at 6,000. Then you get to Salt Lake, it's a little different. Their medical, Dr. Dunn is a physician, so as the director, it's combined there. So I give an estimate of what it costs Salt Lake. Took her salary, minus my salary out, and the excess would be kind of theoretically the medical side of the health officer there. So
she's an MD? Mm-hmm. I didn't realize she was an MD.
And they do have other medical providers there too. So mm-hmm. Salt Lake's a little bit bigger, a lot bit bigger when it comes. They have a lot more clinical services than we provide mm-hmm. there. Utah County, they're 45 to 68 thousand a year for their medical director, and they also cover liability insurance, etc. Our contract, our provider brings all of that to the table. We don't have to do it. It's just $12,000, and that's where I couldn't get a clear distinction with all of them, whether liability was covered or not, but in ours it isn't. So Southwest is another one. Dr. Balaji down there as a physician, estimate they pay about 15 on top of his salary as a health officer to be the medical
director. Where's Blodgett?
Southwest. So oh. St. George, Cedar, those five counties down there. Southeast, 6,000, and Summit's 24. So that's kind of the comparison. We fit pretty well, I believe, in along the Wasatch front for our what we're paying for our medical director. We would like to renew this contract with our medical director for another additional 5 years. In addition, we would like to adjust the contract amount a little bit. I think 20 years at the same amount warrants a little bit of cost. He has not asked for it. However, I'll explain why I think the increase a little bit is justified. We're increasing his workload a little bit. We've taken what we've been partnering with Midtown to do tuberculosis, do those exams and things like that for TB. We're gonna bring those back in, and he's gonna oversee the medical oversight of our TB clients. We have anywhere from one or two a month that we have to do exams on and follow-ups every month on, and so we're going to ask him as we redid our clinic. We have a little more resource clinic space there, and also that we have a travel immunization program that we have a working relationship with the U of U International Travel, and in that we currently in that agreement with the University of Utah. Actually, it's probably not a current agreement, it's just carried on for quite some time, just not really a formal, I can't find a formal agreement on it. But for their services, they bring one of their physicians up and review and write our standing orders in travel immunizations. And we pay the university anywhere, in 2019, we paid them $35,365, and I'm going to end that with U of U and pull that back in-house. I don't see a need when we have a medical director that's well-versed in immunizations. He's part of the Northern Immunization Coalition, etc. Does a great job there. So that little increase would easily be covered by the money that I wouldn't be spending with the U of U. So that's my ask, is that I kind of be allowed to renew this contract outside of an RFP. Curtis, remind me, RFPs generally 30,000 plus. Is Is that what?
Yeah, so this is kind of a unique contract in that it's, you know, $30,000 to $50,000, and when you're looking for a proposal, some ideas. So you could go out for an RFQ, but based upon what we've talked about, at that point you're now into a quote, which means you can't factor in for experience. Well, this is kind of the area you don't want some experience. So the reason it's being brought to you is because this is you would be allowing an exception, which I would not recommend you set this as a precedent, although you're setting a precedent, right? This is a very unique situation. It doesn't fit for a sole source provider. And yet, I think what Brian's laid out, and with the numbers that you see, it's a reasonable ask to make an exception to this.
Nope. We're okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Curtis is right on as far as the policy reads. I think the ultimate basis for the policy is to try to obtain the best value for the county, perform due diligence. I think there's been due diligence presented here in a period of circumstances that have gone on to say, well, you know, where we fall, what services are being requested, what is there any savings that can be made, so forth.
And I am familiar with many of our requirements to have medical directors, because my husband is one also, and he has no public health experience. So it is a niche, public health MDs. They are hard to find, really hard to find. That's why the state made a change, because it used to be in state code that you had to be an MD too. And my uncle was the last one who was an MD and in that position, and they made a change because apparently it's really, really hard to find people like that. The fact that our director is, I've never met the person, but I hear really good things, and all of that experience is super valuable. So, yeah, it's a good review of it all though, Brian, because there's a lot to it. Was he involved much during the pandemic, in heavier times?
He was. I consulted with him on and off. Most of it we sat on immunization meetings together. Mm-hmm. He was representing he was representing Ogden Clinic at that point in those meetings as we were rolling immunizations out, but a lot of our other stuff, treatment and all that, was handled at the physician level of the healthcare system, so we didn't have to do a lot of that. So, and as I've spoke with him to see if he's willing, the travel, he's more than willing to take on that. He's excited. The TV, I was a little worried about, but he trusts, and that's the thing that I can't get if I go out with something else, is that working trust that he has built up with staff, in particular, the communicable disease area, where we'll call him late at night and say, hey, we need you to prescribe this for this, condition, and he'll gladly prescribe it based off of consults with us and our interviews, and all of these are written in standard orders that he signs into place that we follow. So and the big thing, this travel immunization, we pay part of our consultation fee. We get the full cost of the vaccine that we're able to, receive, but we also have a consultation fee, and they take 50% of it for their services. So it could be as low as $200 a month up to, in this case, $35, depending on the travel that's happened. 2022, which these are bad years. I did 2019 because it was pre-COVID. Travel really went down 20 and 21, but it's kicking back up. Travel's very, very busy. And so when I run this year to date, we were at almost 10,000 already. But
that can include the vaccines that missionaries need in certain places in the world.
So it pulls it back into us where we can work with Dr. Cope and work through things a little bit better and give a better value than passing money off to someone that...
Yeah, for sure. No, that's fantastic. Just the last thing is, so when he meets with staff monthly, he's meeting with the communicable disease people monthly.
Yeah, he'll come in and review our STD charts where treatments have been issued under his name. He'll verify the charts are complete and accurate and following the standard order. And then any other conditions there. So now he'll be looking at immunization, especially in travel and TB now.
Uh-huh. My last question is, when people contract TB, do they have it the rest of their lives, or do they actually heal from that?
No, they go on usually a 6-month course that it's DOT, direct observe therapy every day. So we send someone out to observe them take the medication, because if they don't, then you get the resistance forms build up. So it's quite of an extensive program. But if you've been exposed to it, we call it latent TB. So you could have been exposed and you're carrying it around waiting for it to, kind of like a cold sore, if you will. You know, it sits there and waits till something triggers it, and that's what TB does too. And then, but it's treatable.
This is why it's so important to have that medical facility and the place in Clearfield, right?
Yeah.
Is there?
You know, most of this kind of Midtown, we had a great partnership, but over the years they've kind of changed their leadership and things have to back to where this makes more sense for us to pull it back in.
Yeah.
Do it there.
It's great. Yeah, I totally approve.
Okay. Got your approvals. Good to go.
Okay. This probably won't show up commission for a little while. It's still till December, but towards the end of... I wanted to talk with him as we're implementing this. We want to move into these other areas. I want to sever the agreement, I guess, with the U of U. And we've already done STDs with Midtown, et cetera, and pulled it in. But so I'll be transitioning this way, and we'll get the new contract in. Okay. Is this something that I can just put a new contract forward and end the current one if we started earlier? I mean, would we just rescind 2014C and put the new contract in place?
Yeah, we could write it so that the new contract supersedes it.
Okay, all right. So it's timing, I'll get it back to you at some point.
Sometime before Christmas.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And just reference this conversation when you put it through the commission.
Yep. Okay.
So that it's very clear.
Yeah, work session on the state.
This is how.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is all super good information. Comparisons, all of that.
All right, it's 9:53. Meeting adjourned.